Tonight's scripture reading is 1 John chapter 1, verse 5. This is the message we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light, and in Him there is no darkness at all. Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, and members of 9,000 brain churches around the world, and those members in the local sanctuary, and those who are attending this service through satellites and internet, GCN TV viewers and Manmin TV viewers. This is the 2011 Light and Salt Missions devotional service. The Light and Salt Mission consists of those who are engaged in the transportation and restaurant business. That's why they give their devotional service during the Friday all-night service. I give all thanks and glory to God the Father who blessed us to have this devotional service. Dear brothers and sisters, the title of the message that God has given to you this year is The Heart of the Spirit. Devotees, please repeat after me, okay? The heart of spirit. You all wish to have the heart of the spirit, don't you? You should, if you are a child of God. Then what's the reason that God is giving you this particular message? It is to show you how great the true peace and joy are that those who accomplish the heart of the spirit can enjoy. Romans 8:6 says, "For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the spirit is life and peace." If you have the heart of the spirit, you have peace and joy all the time, because you have only thoughts that are spiritual in nature. On the other hand, if you have the heart of the flesh, it's natural, you come to have fleshly thoughts. The fleshly thoughts cause your heart to become troubled and make you feel depressed. During your Christian life, if you think it is difficult, then you are in the Christian life of fleshly thoughts. Those who live a spiritual Christian life do not say it is difficult, because nothing is difficult. There is nothing difficult when you manage your Christian life if you have this heart of the Spirit. Because you are full of hope for heaven, you are overflowing with joy, because you have joy and peace in your heart. So nothing is difficult in your Christian life. Our God the Father wishes that children of faith can live in joy all the time. Especially since the members of the Light and Salt Mission must closely interact with worldly people, He truly desires the members of the Light and Salt Mission to be able to continually experience this joy and happiness. He wishes that even if the actions and attitudes of stubborn customers may be irritating, or if you are mistreated by your superiors, you will not be troubled in heart but remain in peace. The secret to become like that is to accomplish the heart of the Spirit. I pray in the name of the Lord that all the devotees and members of the church may make bread of life with this message well and acquire true peace, happiness, and joy. Dear devotees and brothers and sisters in Christ, to accomplish the heart of the Spirit, first of all, you should not have fleshly thoughts. The more you accept in the fleshly thoughts, the stronger the flesh becomes. So some people say, you know, the harder they try not to have fleshly thoughts, you know, they come up with more, you know, fleshly thoughts. Then they are in the first or the second level of faith. Well, if you are in the second level of faith, then it is time to have that fleshly, you know, thoughts disappear. But if it is too difficult, you know, not to have the fleshly thoughts, it means you are in the first or second level of faith. When the attributes of the sinful nature are combined with the body, it is then referred to as flesh. Such sinful attributes are hatred, envy, arrogance, greed, and adulterous mind. So there are many sinful attributes. So I just mentioned a few. Okay? Hatred. You hate someone because, you know, he is not in accordance with your idea. And you envy someone. And you don't like it. You don't like, you know, someone else be praised. I mean, you have to rejoice together when your friend or your neighbor is praised or their business is prosperous. But if you feel envy, let's say your friend studies well and be praised by your teacher, then you don't, you know, like it. Your trouble, I mean, your heart is irritated. Then it means you have envy. So arrogance, greed, and adulterous mind, they're all sinful attributes. If you have this kind of sinful attributes, fleshly thoughts naturally come up. Each of these sinful attributes is called things of the flesh. So each and every these sinful attributes is referred to as things of the flesh. A thing of the flesh. Okay, let me tell you again. Okay, hatred, envy, arrogance, greed, and they are all the attributes of the sinful nature. Okay? And each and everything, each of them is called thing of the flesh. As you cast off these things of the flesh from your heart one by one, you can have the heart of the Spirit. However, let's say if your heart is full of these sinful attributes, but if you cast them off one by one, then you are on the way to accomplishing the heart of the Spirit. Let's say you got rid of hatred. What is the opposite of hatred? Love. When your heart is filled with love, hatred disappears from your heart. If you keep on inputting the fleshly thoughts, the things of the flesh will never be cast off, but they will be strengthened and grow greater instead. Well, you fall into a deeper fleshly thought. Therefore, to accomplish the heart of the Spirit, first off, you should cut yourself off from such fleshly thoughts. When a fleshly thought, you know, comes across your mind, you should not allow for the thoughts to progress. Perhaps you can think, no, that thought is bad and unacceptable, and let it be stopped right there. Some customers may abuse the phrase, a customer is always right. They misuse the fact that service industry is supposed to consider the customer's perspective and put great value on kindness. I heard that there are many who mistreat or despise salesperson in the marketplace, and they rudely talk down to them. They ask for refunds for products that they have used or purchased a long time ago, just because they no longer like them. I mean, there are customers, you know, like this, you know, who don't make sense at all. They, you know, purchased it quite a long time ago, and, you know, they say that this product is defected and they ask for a refund. There are cases like that. You say amen. Well, if you use fleshly thoughts when trading such people, then hatred will come up in your mind. But you have to change that thought into spiritual thought, okay? Even though they break products by their mistake, they ask for refunds, giving the excuse that the product was defective. How would you treat such customers? You may serve them with a smile, even if they come up with some ridiculous request. And you are educated and you're trained right then. But even if there is a smile on your face, do you still have a form of ugliness in your heart? Do you have a sense of condemnation towards such customers? Or Do their spiteful words wound you and emotionally drain you? Well, you have to deal with such customers, right? They're all different. But, I mean, if you are hurt in your heart dealing with those customers, then you have to quit your job. All you have to do is just, you know, quit off. Just quit your job. But, I mean, are you going, if you go to another store, then you will be mistreated again. The world is full of people who are looking for their own benefit. And they insist that their opinion is always right. So if you don't understand them, it's not difficult to make peace with them in your heart. I hate those people for making me suffer. What a pain they are. These kinds of thoughts belong to the class of fleshly thoughts. Fleshly thought is the result of evil in the heart. The more you have the fleshly thought, the worse it becomes, and the more you suffer. Once you are caught in the fleshly thought, Satan never loses such an opportunity. Satan causes such thoughts to come upon you back to back, one right after the other. Then the thoughts are developed into greater evil and more negative expression. Therefore, if a fleshly thought hits upon you, try to stop thinking about it on the spot. And then, you should remember the word you have heard so far. Make full use of goodness and truth, and change it into a spiritual thought. For example, someone speaks ill of you, and it makes you come up with a sad and sorrowful thought. Then think like this, I'm actually a princess of heaven, but I'm under training to experience relativity. I'm experiencing how bad evil is. I'm under this training to be able to realize the value of truth and how to choose goodness. I was just a test. It was just a test to check, you know, how well I have been trained so far to meet such a customer. Although I didn't get the perfect score this time, if I come across with the same test again, I will surely get the perfect score. If you can think like this, how good will it be? Then you don't care those, you know, such customers. And you can erase such, you know, fleshly thoughts from your heart. Okay? And your heart will be refreshed. Satan tried to stir up your heart. But you change the thought into a spiritual thought and Satan will go away. Then you will not dislike or hate those customers who have no common sense. You may even consider them the good old boys who help you check your heart. If you can change fleshly thought into the spiritual thought like this, you will receive strength to go on toward the spirit again. So always try to think of goodness. Since there are such customers, my heart can be checked out. And I can discover anything in my heart so that I can, you know, humble myself all the more down and change myself thanks to such customers. I'm so thankful for having such customers because they help me to get rid of, you know, evil thoughts or fleshly thoughts. If you think like this, not only the outside, but even to your inside. And if you can discover your evil thoughts and change it into spirit, then how thankful you should become. Well, from the beginning of this church, I have been pointed twice or three times by a member of this church. A member said, Senior Pastor, in 1980s, you delivered the message in this way. But after you came to this century, your sermon has been changed a little bit. So I checked in all the messages that I delivered, but I was not wrong. In 1980s, the revelation from God was, was not as deep as those revelations that I received in the 1990s. So what about the heaven? The first edition and the second edition, the revised edition. Because when Father God had, you know, gave us revelation from about a very deep things, then we couldn't have understood it right. So at first, the Father God gave us revelation to the, I mean, just enough to understand it. But anyhow, that member of the church pointed. So I was so thankful for being pointed out, so I rewarded him greatly. It happened a couple of times. Well, don't try to, you know, point out, you know, anything in my sermon, okay? What he mentioned, what he pointed out was right. But if you think of the situation in 1980s and 1990s, now you can understand why did, where those, you know, where the difference, you know, came from. So if you listen to the message again, then you will understand it. So anyway, I rewarded him greatly. But, for example, before I started this church, there were members, you know, who, you know, kind of, you know, criticized about the messages delivered by, you know, by the pastor, ministering pastor. Then, right, the next week or the next day in the morning service or morning prayer meeting, and the pastor was, you know, pointing, you know, that member who had criticized his message. Well, how good it will be if you can, you know, rather, you know, give thanks to such people who pointed at you. Well, if you can point out each other and realize what is wrong and change it, then how good it will be. It will be so good if you can change it and learn from your point. You learn from others' point. Let's say, you know, you like to have, you know, you have to try to avoid those people who try to flatter you around you. And you have to make friends with those who are eager to point your wrongdoings. Then you can develop all the more better. By the way, even if you can change your thoughts into spiritual thoughts, it doesn't mean your heart becomes the heart of the Spirit. You should realize the root of the fleshly thought which initially hit upon you. If a thought of spitefulness or dislike hit upon you, it proves that hatefulness remains in your heart. If you are troubled at the despising words, it means you still have pride in you. Furthermore, it may be the proof of your arrogance. You should pray to cast off from your heart the evil, which is the root of your fleshly thoughts. You know, when you have to acknowledge that you were evil when someone pointed to you, then you should be thankful. And you have to pray for the things that you were pointing out. And you have to get rid of it. Don't be troubled in your heart. If you don't have any form of evil in your heart, no matter how harmful the things others do to you, the evil feeling will not arise. No fleshly thought will come upon you. And thus, your heart will be in peace all the time. So, the Word of God is cultivated in your heart. Let's say Father God says, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in all situations. If you cultivate those words, then those words are all accomplished in your heart. After I accepted God and the Lord, you know, when I went to the family of senior deacons and other members, you know, I saw a frame with the word, with the verse, you know, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and give thanks in all situations. I liked the verse, so I also bought that, you know, frame, and I you know, put it on my wall. And I always meditate on the verse and then try to remember the word. I believe such, you know, famous, you know, Bible phrase is also in your house. But how much have you accomplished those words? If you have accomplished it, then you are already in the level of spirit. Then if you accomplish those words of God, then you know you always live by the word of God. Well, that's what I thought when I was a novice believer. But it was difficult to find such people. You know, accomplishing such words was difficult. I mean, it took me about two years to accomplish those words. And after I started the church, and when I deal with our members, the pastors and elders and workers of the church, I mean, sometimes it took 5, 10, or 20 years for our members to accomplish those words in their hearts. I mean, I don't think it is that difficult. Well, you have to accomplish those words in your heart. But it is quite difficult to accomplish such words in your heart. So I was wondering, why is it so difficult for our members to live by such a word of God and accomplish those words? So they looked full of the Holy Spirit when they praise to Father God, but, you know, when they come across with difficulties, you know, they lose their fullness. And when they are pointed out, you know, they got angry and they got in a hot temper. And I saw those members who didn't, you know, accomplish those words of God. So I realized that such words of God can be accomplished once they enter the level of spirit. Those people of spirit already live by such words of God. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. I rejoice all the time. I pray without ceasing and give thanks all the time. And this I have accomplished about 3 years after I accepted God. I mean, it took me 3 years to accomplish those words. From the moment I knew nothing about the truth, and then accomplished those words. I mean, it took me 3 years to enter the Spirit. And then whoever came to me to receive my prayer, I prayed once. Then, you know, the person who requested me to pray requested prayer could receive answer. I never broke peace with anyone when I was in missionary school. I mean, the theological, you know, seminary. Well, have you ever seen me got upset when I was a student in a seminary college? Have you ever seen me breaking peace with others? So it's not that difficult. But why is it so difficult for you, elders and pastors and workers, and even the prisoners of our missions? Why is it so difficult? Well, how good it will be if you can quickly accomplish those words. Then, well, once you enter the Spirit, there are so many works you can do. There are many jobs I can give to you. Furthermore, you can even understand those who do harm to you and harbor them in your heart with the wisdom of goodness. If you accomplish the spiritual goodness like this, the worldly people cannot ignore you or despise you. To the extent you accomplish the heart of the Spirit, you will emanate the strong spiritual light, and thus the forces of darkness cannot come close to you. If someone approaches you with evil intention, and you have accomplished the heart of the Spirit, he cannot act upon the evil of his heart. He is overwhelmed by the authority of your spiritual light. I pray in the name of the Lord that the Light and Salt Mission members may accomplish the heart of the Spirit for sure, and manage your life with the heart full of heavenly happiness. dear brothers and sisters in Christ, and devotees, to accomplish the heart of spirit. Secondly, you should not lock yourself inside your own limitations. I said already that to accomplish the heart of the Spirit, you should first cut yourself off from the fleshly thoughts and pray to pull out the untruth, which is their root. Many people become exhausted during this procedure. They become like an on and off switch and eventually become worn out. The reason is that they try to cast off the evil from their hearts through only their effort and strength. However, it's not an easy job. If the evil in the heart were as visible as a weed in the yard, it would be easy to pull it out, but it's invisible. There is no doubt that it is there because it keeps coming up. You have no idea how much of it is left. And until you do, you should pray. And therefore, there are quite a few people who meet with their own limitations and say, I cannot make it. I'm not in a situation where I can freely attend Daniel Prayer Meeting. So I cannot go. I'm too deeply involved in the worldly things. I don't have good heart, and I don't have a good character either. This way, people set up their own limits. Then they think they cannot make it. Then they can never have the heart of the Spirit. Then what should you do? Even though there is a limit to the effort you can make, even though your will is weak, there is no limit to the Holy Spirit. Besides, the Holy Spirit has the power to destroy the evil in your heart. You should believe that Holy Spirit is dwelling in you. Depend on Him all the time. It is difficult to discover and pull out the evil only with your own strength and effort. By the help of and by the power of the Holy Spirit, however, you can discover the evil and get rid of it. That's why the Apostle Paul said in Philippians 4, verse 13, I can do all things through Him who strengthens me. Jesus also said to His disciples in Mark 10, verse 27, with people it is impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God. Let me briefly explain the background of these words. A young rich man came to Jesus and said to Jesus, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Then Jesus told him to keep the commandments. Then, what should I do to inherit eternal life? To keep the commandments of God and to live by the word of God. Then the young man said, I have kept all these things from my youth up. He said, he thought that he was keeping all the commandments. Then Mark 10, 21 says, looking at him, Jesus felt a love for him and said to him, one thing you lack, go and sell all you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Well, he might have, earned many things, but sell them all and give to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. If you want to follow our Lord, you have to give up everything and follow Him. Affection to the world, you have to get rid of it. You have to give up everything and follow the Lord. Then you can become His true disciple. But at these words, he was saddened and he went away grieving because he owned much property. After this, Mark 10, verse 23 to 25 says, and Jesus, looking around, said to his disciples, how hard it will be for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of God. So those who have wealth, it is enter the kingdom of God. Now, I would like to ask you, why do you try to choose this difficult way? Why don't you choose easier way? Even if you have wealth, you try to get some more wealth. You buy property, you want to buy houses, you want to buy apartments. What would our Father God say to you? If I take away your soul, what's the benefit? What is the use of all this? This is the life of those who do not know the future. If you look at the well, if you do not dig the well, if you do not pull the water from the well, it dries. But if you keep on pulling in the water from the water will be filled with the fresh water all the time. But if you just put it as it is, then it will dry. To enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus answered again and said to them, "Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." Well, don't you think it's impossible for a camel to go through an eye of a needle? Well, some say that the eye of the needle referred to a very small gate of the castle. Think of a needle. And think of the eye of that needle, how small that is. So you can think of it any way you want it, okay? So some say the eye of the needle referred to a very small gate of the castle. At night, the gates of the castle were closed. At night, in an urgent situation, when the gate needed to be opened, this eye of a needle was opened. Because, they couldn't open such big gates of the castle, right? So they opened this small gate called the eye of the needle, This gate was very small, so that a camel could barely pass through it. If the camel was loaded, everything would be taken down from the camel for it to be able to pass through the gate. Then the Lord said, "It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." So, it is difficult for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. You should realize this. Yes, it is. The Bible warns many times. Just as a camel has to be unloaded, the rich would have to be able to set aside his possessions. But it's not easy. So, since they gather, wealth, they come up with, greed from their hearts. And then, the more greed they have in their hearts, the more they want to earn. Let's say he has a $1 million house. He wants to buy a $10 million house. Well, it is preferable if Father God makes you rich. Because Father God makes you rich, you will use the money for the missionary work or for charity, then Father God will give you blessing all the more. So even if you don't want to become rich, Father God makes you rich. If you don't have any greed or selfish motives, then Father God will make you rich. And this is the true thing. In our early church days, all the members of the early church sold out their possessions and gave to the poor. This is the Christian life. This is the life of those who have true faith. You have to live such Christian life. And then, such people will receive blessing from God the Father overflowingly. So I had a meeting with the district leaders. And I told them that it is the shortcut to enter the spirit. Once you enter the spirit, then whatever you do will be prosperous. If you run your business will be prosperous. If you do a trading business between countries, then Father God will help you and your business will be prosperous once you enter the spirit. The same thing applies to the church work. Branch churches and the local sanctuaries and other branch churches in other countries. I told my pastors, you tried many ways to bring revival to your church, but the most important thing is the ministering pastor should become humble before God. Just as they empty the heart of vessel, the vessel of their hearts, Father God fills their hearts with revival. And Father God fills their heart with wisdom. Then they will find the way, good ways to bring revival to their church. But they don't circumcise their hearts. But they try to this way and that way. But it will not bring revival to their churches. Even if they experience revival, if Satan works, then members will go back. It's not easy. So, circumcision of your heart is the first priority. If you are a servant of God, you should try all means to resemble the heart of Father God. Then, at the same time, you have to come up with new ideas to bring revival to your church. The same applies to your missions and parish. Change yourself first. Cell leaders, change yourself first. Then, it's not difficult to bring revival to your cell. It's not difficult. District leaders, sub-district leaders. It's all the same. So it's not easy to give up their position. Why? Because they have greed. If they get rid of greed, then they can use that position to give aid to people. Or do I have to use the money that I earn with so much effort? Well, if you have this kind of heart, then you can't. Before God, depending on what kind of heart you have and how you sow, Father God can give you everything. Because gold and silver belongs to Father God. There are people who regard authority or honor, not only wealth, as if it were their life. To accept the gospel, they should have a heart to give up what belongs to the world. But they love the world, and they don't give up, and thus they may not reach full salvation. With this in mind, what Jesus said was that it would be difficult for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. Then, his disciples were alarmed and said, "Then who can be saved?" Then Jesus said, "With people it is impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God." And that's right. It's not easy for the rich to give up their possessions. But they can do it if God gives them grace. If they receive grace so that they can believe the glory in heaven in their hearts, their attachments to the treasures of the world will disappear. You heard the testimony of Angelica, right? She went to paradise. But she didn't want to come back to the world. She didn't have such good faith. She didn't fervently love our Father God. She was just at the first level of faith. But she just saw paradise. And even though her family were on the earth, she didn't want to come back to the earth. She begged to our Lord to live there forever. Father God opened the space of the spiritual realm, and the Father God showed a table which is located in the third kingdom of heaven. And then Father God didn't show her the New Jerusalem, but through the open space of the spiritual realm, she was able to see Abraham, Moses, and other people. So she said that there was a golden castle, but she wasn't able to enter it. So it's not something which can be easily opened to be shown to many people. So, but if she had seen it, what would have happened to her? I don't think it will be easy for her to live in this world, because she will always miss New Jerusalem, because she remembers the beauty of the New Jerusalem and Golden Castle and those beautiful, I mean, to imagine it dazzles me. So try to imagine it. And it's reality before your eyes. Those golden castle in New Jerusalem, decorated with gold and silver. I mean, it is indescribable. It's beyond our description. And I'm asking you to go there together. And I'm telling you how. How you can enter there easily. High school students and middle school students and young people, they are trying so hard to enter New Jerusalem. They are following me quite diligently. So I'm thankful for that. Well, follow me like that. Keep on following me. Then you will see what its result going to be. You will enter spirit, your heart will change, and you will come into spirit and goodness. Even though the whole world is full of sins, how good it will be if you enter the spirit. Some people say it is difficult for a people of goodness to live in this world, but that's what they think. If you enter the spirit and the goodness, Father God protects you with the fire of the Holy Spirit, so the enemy, devil, and Satan cannot do anything to you. For example, the reason you are able to give the whole tithes is because God the Father gave you grace. Before receiving this grace, it's difficult to give one-tenth of your income. It's even more difficult when the expected expenses are bigger than the income. Yet still, when you have the faith to give tithe, it is by the grace of God that it can be done. Since God gave you the grace, you came to believe that it is not loss, but benefit to give the tithe. Therefore, you've been able to cheerfully give tithe, not begrudgingly or under compulsion. Likewise, when God gives the grace, people can give up their possessions. Here, possessions not only refers to material things, it can also refer to those invisible things in their hearts, such as greed, selfish motives, hatred, envy, jealousy, adulterous mind, pride, arrogance, hot temper, and craftiness. Such possessions can be easily cast off when God gives grace and strength. It can be easily cast off. Don't lock the power of God within the limits that you set for yourself. I cannot give it up by myself, but I can when the Holy Spirit helps me. I cannot, but God can do everything. Please believe this fact. Moreover, our Father God makes everything possible. Look at our pilgrimage trip team to Israel. Father God was with them all the time in a place where the temperature hits like a 40 degrees Celsius. I mean, even they went to the Dead Sea, the weather was so cool. And they went to Switzerland, to the mountain. And it was not cold. So some people wore short sleeves. Look at her. The altitude is 4,000 meters from the sea level. But the weather was so good. There was no wind. They have to, wave the flag. Look at that. Even at that height, there was no wind. When I went there, there was no wind, right? So the guide came to me and, I've never seen it like this. No wind at all? There was zero wind. But this time, it happened again. There was no wind. The weather was so good like that. So, Father God works like this, even in this field. Father God works even greater. When it's hot, it makes cool. Father God makes it cool. Father God works like this. I cannot, but God can do everything. Please believe this. Moreover, if you receive the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, you can understand what cannot be understood with the understanding of man. The Holy Spirit helps you. The Holy Spirit helps your narrow vision widen so that you can see greater and bigger things. And thus, you will have the graciousness to understand even those who speak and behave with no common sense. Therefore, you can have the heart of the Spirit with which you can love all the people, understand them, and forgive them. So please, if you long for the heart of the Spirit, always depend on the Holy Spirit. Do not judge others, and don't lock yourself inside your own self-created limitations. I hope that you can take a look at yourself from the perspective of the Holy Spirit. Moreover, I pray in the name of the Lord that the Holy Spirit may help you accomplish the heart of the Spirit easily. Dear devotees, to accomplish the heart of the Spirit, you should always rejoice and give thanks in all situations. Brothers and sisters, please remember this well. To rejoice over something that is minor and give thanks for it becomes the foundation in accomplishing the heart of the Spirit. The heart of Spirit is not far from you. As you rejoice with a small thing and give thanks for it, you will come closer to the heart of the Spirit to that extent. Please give thanks not only when you are blessed greatly, but also for something that is small. For example, being able to eat well and to sleep well are also the reasons for thanksgiving. Can you work freely since you are healthy? It is also the reason for thanksgiving. You should be thankful for being able to see, hear, and speak. On the other hand, if you complain and grumble about things, you distance yourself farther and farther from the heart of the Spirit. Why was I born in this shabby place? Why did I grow up like this? Why is my character like this? What if I had been born in a better family? If you have complaints in your heart like this, and if you put blame on others or on your environment, it is difficult to have the heart of the Spirit. Those who are irrevocably stuck and bound by the past are not wise. There was a person who came to me like this. She spoke. She repeatedly say, I did this, I did that in the past. I did that when I was 2 years old. I did that when I was 3 years old. I say, so you did that in 2 or 3 years old? Even though she said, I said, well, I did that in 3 years old, then 4 years old, and then she came to me and appointed me. Well, senior pastor, I didn't say I did that in 2 years old, when I was 2 years old. I said I did that when I was 4 years old. Well, when I said, you know, she did it when she was 2 to 3 years old, it means, you know, she did that when she was young. But she could understand the point. Well, if she, you know, empty her heart and humble herself down and try to accept it, then it will work. But she doesn't do it. You know, you said, senior pastor, you say you can harbor those, you know, old people. Please harbor me in your heart too. Well, I don't recall that I said I harbored only the old people. I harbor all the members of the church. So all the members of the church can be protected in the space. Depending on whether you live by the word of God, even though I harbor them in your heart, you cannot be protected. Even though I harbor you in my heart, if you don't live by the word of God, you cannot be protected by God. When you live in the light, when you live by the word of God, when you keep the commandments of Father God, then you are in the bosom of Father God. And depending on how much you love Father God, you can be protected by Father God. I've told you many times like this, but, you know, she spoke to me in a wrong way. You know, you told me that, you know, you harbor old people in your heart. Please harbor me in your heart too. Well, please, from this message, understand it. Realize it. Unless you cannot resolve your problem. Those who are irrevocably stuck and bound by the past are not wise. The past is the past. What is important is the present and the future. Even though you are poor and unfortunate, if you plant the seed of joy and thanks from now on, you can welcome the great future. I met the good shepherd, and I was led to this church of life. Thank you. I'm thankful for being able to live a believing life. I'm grateful for being able to come to the temple of God and to pray until late in the evening like this. This church can provide many, many reasons for thanksgiving. This church provides you with many evidences that you can have faith. This church provides many chances for you to meet God, who is invisible. Father God is invisible. But you can believe in Father God as if you saw Him. Because there are many signs and wonders that modern technology or science cannot do. These are taking place in this church, and you have witnessed them. You touched them. That's how you manage your Christian life in this church. We witness and experience those things recorded in the Bible. Now, when we go to heaven, then you will see many things with your eyes. In this church, it teaches you how to accomplish those words. Pray without ceasing. Rejoice always. Give thanks in all situations. This church is the church you can pray all the time. If you go to other churches, many churches are locked down. They're closed down. It's difficult to find a church which opens the gate all the time, 24 hours a day. From the beginning of this church, from the first day of our church, I opened the window and the door of this church. There was no guard in this church. I mean, why do you open the door of the church? What if a thief comes in and then steals everything? Well, I didn't worry a thing. Father God protects this church. This temple of God is a prayer, a place for prayer. And how strong is the thief to steal an altar or the pew from this church? Do I have to worry about it and not open the door of this church? No way. So I always open the door of this church. I has never closed down. Do I have to lock down the church in fear of the thieves? Temple of God, which is a place of prayer? Even if a thief comes in and steals a thing, then replace it with a new thing. By that time, well, there was only a fan. a thief could steal by the time, when there was no guard in this church. But now we have pastors and my wife, present a prayer center, and we can have time to give prayer all the time. And we have power worship team, and they'll help you when you sing praises to God the Father. So how thankful you should be. There is nothing you cannot give thanks. You have great expectation for the next Friday online service, right? I have full great expectation. What kind of good and happy news is waiting for us? The good thing is, if you think of good things only, then you can see only the good things. The whole day is full of good things. You wake up in the morning, you wash yourself, you eat breakfast, and you have a Coke or you have a cup of coffee. How great it is. And you pray to God, you evangelize people, you visit members. A day is full of reasons for thanksgiving. A good thing is, next Friday, Pastor Sujin Lee is going to lead the praise and worship service. And the next Friday service, our church members will be full of great expectation. Man, and what kind of good things are waiting for us on next Friday service and what next Sunday? What kind of blessing our Father God will give to us? If you think of these things, then your every day is full of good things and reasons for thanksgiving. Why do you worry? And you are making yourself a misfortune. The unfortunate. I'm sorry. Why do you worry about getting sick? Why do you try to lock yourself inside those unfortunate things? There's nothing you need to worry about. Does somebody, stop you from praying? If you want to, if you're pleased to, you can evangelize people, you can preach the gospel, you can eat something you like to eat. You can eat ice cream if you want to. But there are many reasons for Thanksgiving. Now, what is it that drives you unfortunate? Why do you worry about those unfortunate things in advance? You are too occupied to think of only good things. There are so many people who, try to worry about things that will not happen. If you can worry about something and it makes you, avoid such, bad things, then do it. But you can't. If you worry like that, even the possible becomes impossible. But if you give thanks, the impossible will become possible. With the common sense, and if you pray to Father God, then Father God will make it happen. But if you worry, you cannot listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. So don't think you are unfortunate. Change your thought. What is the reason you think like that? Father God wants to give you only the good things. Your family is not evangelized and you are persecuted by your husband. Change the way of thinking. How can you live your life like that for years? Now, what should you do? What's the answer in that case? You should not live your life like that for years. There is a way. How? How? Senior pastor may advise me to get divorced. If you enter the spirit as soon as possible, as quickly as possible, then you will not be persecuted. As you enter the spirit, then you will not be persecuted. And the Satan will leave you. The persecutions will leave you. in front of light, the darkness will tremble in fear, and persecution cannot happen. If you enter the Spirit, but if your husband persecutes you, then be strong. Then the evil will leave you. The darkness cannot control over the light. The darkness cannot hinder the light. So once you enter the Spirit, the persecution will go away. So the quicker you enter the Spirit, the easier you can get off, you can get away from persecution. That you can rather control your family and the enemy devil and Satan, and your family will be evangelized. Then you come to this church with your family members, hand in hand. And your children who went to astray, well, please come to Spirit as soon as possible. Then your children will come back. Now, nowadays, look at these students. They change. I don't stay with them all the time. I just spend time, just a short time, during the mini-sized Divine Healing meeting. Then they are changed like that. Then they love the shepherd. They changed like this. Some children say, you know, they love me more than they love their parents. No. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? You are not loved by your children the way, you know, I am loved by your children. Well, you feel good still, right? Because your, you know, wrongdoing, you know, children turned into good children. If you enter Spirit, your children will come back. Their hearts will change. Why? Because the enemy devil and Satan left their hearts. That's why they could have the heart of goodness. And then their hearts will be under the work of the Holy Spirit. So always make a profession of thanks first and offer your prayer of thanksgiving. And the seeds of thanks which are planted in your heart will bear great fruit of thanks. Quite a long time ago, when I was a novice believer, before I started this church, I always, you know, communicated with God the Father, right? When there was a difficulty, the Father God explained to me. When I was a seminary college student, I was about to be expelled from the college due to the envy and jealousy of other, you know, classmates. You know, they, you know, wrongfully accused me. And they said, you know, I made groups to, you know, bring, you know, a dispute to the seminary college. Even it was a bad rumor. And then the professors, you know, discussed, you know, expelling, you know, me from the college. A doctor from the States, you know, loved me, and they came to my house. He used to live in Yonsei, near Yonsei University, and he came to my house to understand the situation. And the professor said, the professors agreed to expel you from the seminary college. I think it happened right before the summer vacation. Was I a freshman or senior? Sophomore? Well, I cannot recall it correctly. It was right before summer vacation. So that happened. And the professor came to me and said, well, Pastor Lee, are you trying to open a church? Yes, I am. That's why Satan tries to hinder you from opening a church. Since you have many gifts and much power of God, Satan will not stand still so that you can to let you work. So he explained what happened in the seminary college. Then I started to pray right away. Then Father God said like this, don't worry a thing, but give thanks, prayer of thanks, and don't hate them, rather bless them. Bless them. That's what Father God said. Do not hate them. But rather, bless them. Those professors who decided to expel me, those students who wrongfully accused me. Well, they had a discussion to expel me from the college. But Father God told me to pray for them, pray for their blessing. So I did. And the summer vacation started. And Father God worked. So they couldn't expel me. After the summer vacation, everything was changed. All the situation was converted. Those who wrongfully accused me, you know, couldn't come to school because my classmates gathered together and had a discussion. And those classmates found those students who wrongfully accused me and said, why did you wrongfully accuse of Pastor Lee? So the one who wrongfully accused me, he said, I'll take a break for this semester. I made the wrong thing. I did the wrong thing. So the students told me what happened. So when I went to school, I heard it. So I went to that student who wrongfully accused me, and I had a conversation. No way. I don't have any ill feelings against you. I don't hate you. And I don't remember a thing. I don't have any ill feelings against you. So, do not quit studying. Please, come to this semester and let's graduate together. And I talked to my classmates. We have studied so far. But why do you make him quit? And I don't have any bad feelings in my heart for this matter. Well, it can happen. But let's study together and graduate together. So I asked them for favor, and then he could graduate together with me. So when I heard it from the professor, I was shocked. What would happen to him who was young? I mean, and then I was preparing to start a church. And what if I expelled from the college? Father God told me to start a church under the scorching sun. But I was about to be expelled from the college. But when I prayed, Father God explained it to me. And Father God told me to give prayer of thanks. And do not hate them, but pray for their blessing. Pray for the professors and the classmates. So Father God worked. And when Father God heard my prayer, He worked according to my prayer. So Father God changed my prayer to turn into prayer of thanks. And He moved the hearts of those professors and classmates, so I didn't get expelled from the college. And those, professors felt sorry for me. So when I graduated from the college, I took in all the merits from the college. So I gave one merit to one student. The members of the church came to my house and they celebrated together with me. And then after the graduation, we have a ceremony to give thanks to our professors. And, we usually go to the finest cuisine, and then we buy dinner for our professors. But for that only year, that ceremony took place in this church. But there was nothing in the church. We just started. But the professors were inspired in their hearts. And they insisted to have the ceremony in this church. So I think that in a ceremony took place after the graduation, and I think it was April, those professors came to this church, had the ceremony. And it was so full of impression. I mean, the members of this church were so delighted, and they were so good at, you know, dealing with, you know, such, you know, professors. They put on, you know, Korean traditional dance beautifully, and they put tables, set the tables, and they served the professors and, you know, college students. And the food was even much, much better than those, you know, fine food in the best restaurant. And those professors were surprised. You know what? Your members are so great. They worked as if they were one. I mean, when did you teach your members to behave like that? I didn't teach them to do that. Well, our members, you know, took care of it all by themselves. So those professors were impressed greatly. So they were amazed at those, our members, you know, wearing the Korean traditional dress and, you know, serving the members. So even though enemy devil and Satan worked, when I gave thanks by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and prayed for their blessing, the things turned into goodness. I experienced it. So when I experienced it, such things one by one, I came to understand the heart of God, and I came to understand how to win over the enemy devil and Satan. This is the way to control and conquer the enemy devil and Satan. I know how to do it. Then I applied it to my life. Then when it happened again, whenever it happened, I won the game in the same way. I rather gave thanks of prayer, and I rather gave in the prayer of thanks for those people who, you know, persecuted me. I tried to understand them. I resolved the problems like this. I didn't have any ill feelings or, you know, anger in my heart. I rather, you know, harbor them in my heart. Then, at the end, I was able to win the victory, and that's how our Father God worked. This is what I witnessed. So, Christian life is easy because Father God, the Almighty, is with you. Once you understand the heart of God and follow His heart, then the impossible becomes possible, even the possible become even more prosperous, and the enemy, devil, and Satan cannot interrupt you. You will win the victory all the time, and you will receive blessing, and you will experience revival all the time. Why is it so difficult? I'm teaching you all the time. When you believe it and obey, then you will win the victory all the time. Read the Bible, the Old Testament and New Testaments. The blessings can be found in many parts of the Bible all the time. And the seeds of thanks which are planted in your heart will bear great fruit of thanks. Moreover, if your heart becomes full of thanks like this, you can have fun while circumcising your heart. You can have fun in doing it instead of feeling that it is hard or difficult. The work of plowing a field and planting seeds is hard and exhausting in the physical sense. But by just imagining the harvest from the field and the happiness the family can enjoy, however, a farmer believes it's worth doing it. He will be thankful for having a field and for being healthy. He will give thanks to heaven that gives sunlight and sun, sunlight and rain. Likewise, I hope all the devotees can also rejoice and give thanks in all situations. I pray in the name of the Lord that the fruit of Spirit may be born abundantly in your heart. Dear devotees, let me conclude this message. In this message, I explain three steps to accomplish the heart of the Spirit. First off, you should block fleshly thoughts so that the flesh cannot receive strength. And then, you should overcome your limitations and depend on the Holy Spirit all the time. Lastly, you should plant the seeds of joy and thanks in any situations. God the Father loves you. He created you in His own image, and He redeemed you by paying with the blood of His only begotten Son, Jesus. One by one, you are so precious to our Father God. You should realize this. There are 6.9 billion people in this world. Can Father God remember me? Well, He does. He does. He does remember you. Will senior pastor remember me? Will senior pastor remember my name? Many novice believers think like this. Well, my spirit knows. From time to time, I visit you. At night, my spirit goes to even foreign countries. My spirit knows where you are, and it visits you. And the spirit understands your situation. The spirit knows your situation. Then that's enough, isn't it? Once the spirit knows, that's it. The team who went to a pilgrim trip, a senior deacon is Jung Im Lee. She is very old. She has a trouble with her leg. But she went into a pilgrim trip. Now, just imagine how hard it will be for her to walk such, you know, a long way. But I visited her in her dream. I visited her hotel room in her dream, and I touched her leg with my hand. Can you imagine what happened to her? Her leg was healed. So the bad blood, you know, was in some part of her leg, and it came out, and she was able to walk very well during the pilgrim trip. Father God works like that. Even though she stayed far away from this city, I think it happened when on the third day of their trip, I visited her, and I touched her leg, and she was healed. Now she became healthy. So how good it is. She is so happy now. Now, how could she receive such grace? There was a reason. Such grace cannot be given so without any reason. She loves the shepherd so much, always. And wherever she is, she always loves her shepherd. In the past, when I was in sick bed, she hated me. But after I accepted the Lord, I was rather thankful for being hated by her. I mean, it's up to you. If you can think in a good way, then you can give thanks. After I accepted the Lord, Father God told me to love even your enemies. So what should I do? I have to love them. I have to love her. I have to love those people that I hated. So I had to change my thought. Well, a sister of my wife, she loves her sister, my wife. So it is natural for her to hate me. If I were in her shoes, I would too hate, you know, my brother-in-law. My beloved sister married to a very poor man, and she couldn't live a good life. My beloved sister is living a miserable life. But then, you know, I may hate my brother-in-law, before I knew the truth. So I changed my heart like that. Then I could understand her. I could understand her heart. Because she loved her sister. That's why she hated her brother-in-law. So, there is no reason for you to hate someone. So when I changed my heart, the situation changed. It applies to every case. It depends on your heart, whether you have happiness or not in your heart. There are many, many reasons for being happy in this church. This church has all the conditions. You can give, you know, you can sing praises to Father God with joy because, you know, worship team helps you sing praises. How thankful you should be. You can see their worship dance. you can see, you know, in the special dances, special performance. Do not think of misfortune. Why do you have to think of misfortune? And if there is anything which can bring, you know, misfortune to you, change your thought, then it will convert into fortune. In addition to all of this, if you can accomplish the heart of the Spirit and resemble God the Father all the more, how much more love do you think He will pour out on you? I wish for the devotees and brothers and sisters to make bread well from this message and quickly accomplish the heart of the Spirit. And then, you will live your life in true happiness and joy even on this earth. May you enter New Jerusalem and enjoy the ultimate happiness together with God the Father forever and ever. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Let's think over the message and pray together. Hallelujah, Father God. Thank you for your love and grace. Let this message become faith and life in us. Father, bless Light and Salt Mission members to accomplish the heart of the Spirit as soon as possible. Let them not have fleshly thought. Let them break their limitations. Let them rejoice always. Let them give thanks in all situations so that they can accomplish the heart of the Spirit all the more quickly. Father God, thank you. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. I will pray for the sick. Please lay your hands on the sick part of your body or the desires of your heart. Hallelujah, Father God. Lay your hands on these people. Transcending space and time, please work for the people who sent their pictures. Pastor Shim James, he is going to lead the handkerchief prayer meeting in New York International Mammon Church. Bless Glenn Lee, who is suffering from diabetes, high blood pressure, and neural diseases. Father, please burn all diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. May the light come. Let him be recovered both in spirit and body, and let him be faithful to his given ministry. Father, please bless Ambassador Edgar Garcia from Costa Rica. Let him be faithful to his duty and to be healthy. Bless Blanca Diaz to have a visa to the States to attend her daughter's wedding. Father, bless Ismena so that his daughter to receive inheritance well, and bless his son Sergio to quit from drugs. Bless Esmer from Venezuela to be healed of left leg cancer. Bless Lawrence from Uganda to be healed of, you know, nose bleeding. Father, please bless Slavik from Russia to be able to get rid of adulterous mind and hot temper and pride. Bless Hakuisa to be free from forces of darkness. Father God, thank you. Father God, thank you. Please work for these people, all the members, from head to toe in every intestines and organs and nerve system. Burn all diseases by the fire of the Holy Spirit. Let them become healthy both in spirit and body. Father, please let their internal organs become healthy. All the diseases go away. Let their stomach, kidney, and lung become healthy. Father, please work for these people, Father. Father, please bless them. Bless them, Father. Father God, please work for these people. All the diabetes and high blood pressure be cleansed. Let their blood pressure become normal. Let depression go away. All the diseases be burned by the fire of the Holy Spirit and be cleansed. May the light come. Father, please be with us in the second half of this service. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen.